Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Public Union Fees and Political Advocacy Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On January 10, 2012, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in Knox v. SEIU. This case presents two questions. The first is whether a state may lawfully require that state employees who are not union members pay a special union assessment intended for ideological political expenditures without first providing notice and an opportunity to object. The second question is whether a state may lawfully require that state employees who are not union members pay union fees to finance political expenditures for ballot measures. To discuss the case, we have John Eastman, professor at the Chapman University School of Law. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Eastman.
Hi, this is John Eastman, the Henry Salvatore Professor of Law and Community Service at Chapman University School of Law. I'm also the chairman of the Federalist Society's Federalism and Separation of Powers Practice Groups. And we're talking today about the Supreme Court's hearing of the case Diane Knox versus Service Employees International Union, Local 1000. Oral argument was held on January 10th, 2012, and it's a fascinating case. For those that aren't aware of the real way unions play in politics on this stage, this case is worth taking a look at. Basically, what happened in California is then-Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger proposed a series of initiatives back in 2005 that were put on a special election ballot in November of that year that would curtail the ability of unions to compel public employees to contribute to their political efforts, even employees that disagreed with those efforts. Of course, the Supreme Court has allowed this withholding of union dues by non-members of the unions to let the non-union employees contribute to the costs of collective bargaining. But that exception to our normal rules that we don't compel people to pay for the speech of others has been an exception that is big enough that the unions have driven a tank through it. They routinely spend tens of millions of dollars in political activities based on these compulsory donations from deductions from employee paychecks. The Supreme Court has held in a 1986 case called Teachers Local Number 1 versus Hudson that the unions have to give employees notice of how they're going to spend their funds and give employees the opportunity to opt out for portions of the funds that are put for political purposes and not simply as agency fees for the collective bargaining. And those notices go out once a year, and they typically are very generic. We're going to spend some of our money for collective bargaining. We're going to spend some for other activities, lobbying for political purposes and what have you. And they set a percentage of the fees that are going to be devoted to agency fees that the non-unionized employees have to contribute to and these other kind of activities that they don't. And the burden is on the employee to opt out, go through a process to get a refund of monies they shouldn't have had to pay in the first place. But what was extraordinary about this case is that the funds at issue here were not even part of the Hudson Notice. The unions looked at these initiatives that the governor proposed and realized they did not have enough money to participate vigorously in the election opposing the initiatives as they had hoped. They figured they were about $12 million short of where they needed to be. And so unlike the rest of us, they have to go out and persuade people to support our positions or our causes in elections. They just dialed up the mandatory deduction from the union dues without even a vote of the ranking members, and of course without a vote of the non-members who don't get a vote at all. And then after the election, when it was clear that many people were going to opt out, they refunded the money. But what it amounted to was an illegal, interest-free loan of $12 million to the unions to defeat the initiatives that were trying to curtail some of the unbelievable power of unions in the state of California. The district court agreed and said it was a violation of the non-union employees' constitutional rights to have this mandatory increase without notice, without opt-out options. And it was a 25 to 33% increase in the amount of their paychecks that was being withheld by this mechanism. But the Ninth Circuit reversed the district court, said it was perfectly fine for the unions to do what they did, and then that's what led to the Supreme Court granting review. Now, during the oral argument on January 10th, the court spent a lot of time questioning whether the case had become moot. The unions sent a dollar to everybody that had been involved and also authorized them, anybody, to get a refund of any of the of their own dues that have been put to this political purpose illegally. And the unions are claiming that that moots the case. And there was a great deal of back and forth from the justices about the terms of the mootness, whether it was constitutionally moot or only prudentially moot, whether it was moot only in the Supreme Court or whether it was also moot in the district court below, which still has to approve of the subsequent notice that the union sent out. On the merits, though, I think one of the most significant parts of the oral argument was Justice Kennedy, who suggested that First Amendment rights at issue here are so substantial that perhaps we should consider requiring opt-in rather than opt-out, so that the burden is on the unions to persuade non-union members to the efficacy of their political causes, rather than on the non-union employee to go through the process of getting back his own money. And Justice Kennedy is absolutely right here. In no other area of our political campaign finance arena do we allow people to compulsory take money from others for political purposes and put the burden on them to ask for their own money back. And it has distorted the political process here in California and nationwide in every place where the unions are strong. Now, the unions argued that this was not clearly going to be for political purposes, that it was politics and other things, but the record belies that claim. The letter that they sent out in their newsletter said that we need this $12 million to fund our political fight back fund, which was going to try and block these initiatives and support candidates who would be more favorable to the union position. That's what's gotten California in the financial crisis it's in, and it was clearly that was what they were intending to do here. So the Supreme Court took up this case. It remains an open question, and I think a close one, whether the union's agreement to send an after-the-fact Hudson notice and offer of refund is sufficient to moot the case. But if it's not, I think that this case presents a great opportunity for the Supreme Court to really put some more teeth into the First Amendment rights of public employees, union and non-union members alike, that their money ought not to be compulsorily taken from their paycheck with the mechanisms of the state behind it to support political causes that they don't agree with. It's one of the most basic propositions of liberty that we have. For all too long now, the Supreme Court has allowed this kind of high-wink activity to go on without its taking steps. This case presents a great opportunity to protect the fundamental First Amendment rights of employees, rank-and-file employees, to choose where their political contributions are going to go, which initiatives they're going to support or oppose, which candidates they're going to support or oppose, or choose to keep the money themselves and pick none of the above, and instead perhaps spend it more on putting food on their table or braces on their kids' teeth or a number of other ways in which people might choose to spend the money they earn working for a living. So those are the stakes of this case. It's a wonderful little insight into how our politics has been corrupted by this flow of mandatory dues to people that participate in the political process. And I hope that the Supreme Court will use the opportunity to strengthen our First Amendment protections here.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.